In the final years of the 20th century, amid the dot-com frenzy and millennial hype, a quiet revolution was underway. A new operating system, born as a hobby in a Helsinki bedroom, was exploding onto the world stage. Its name was Linux. Seemingly overnight, this renegade software leapt from an idea shared by one student to a global phenomenon, infiltrating corporate strongholds and attracting millions of devoted users on every continent. By the dawn of the 21st century, Linux powered web servers across the internet and even orbiting NASA machines. It wasn't just an underdog technology, it was the vanguard of a new way of creating software, a collaborative open model that challenged how technology itself would be built. Today, the impact is everywhere. The Android phone in your pocket runs a kernel that traces directly back to Linux. Nearly all of the world's top supercomputers and a majority of servers rely on it. To understand how Linux began, we must go back to the early 1980s, when Richard Stallman sparked the free software movement. A decade later, those ideals set the stage for a student in Finland to write a kernel that would change the world. Our story begins in the hallowed halls of MIT's Artificial Intelligence Laboratory in 1980. In a cluttered printer room, Richard Stallman, a young software programmer with intense eyes and a halo of curly hair, stands frowning at a brand new laser printer. It has jammed again. Normally, Stallman would simply fix the problem by tweaking the printer's code. He's done it before with the old machines, but this time is different. When he searches for the software source code to implement a fix, he comes up empty. The code is locked away, proprietary. Stallman tracks down the researcher who has the code and asks for a copy. The reply is a polite but firm no. The code was provided under a non-disclosure agreement, and he had promised not to share it. Stallman resolved to never feel so helpless with his own computer again. He envisioned an operating system that anyone could study, improve, and share, just like the communal spirit that had thrived in the lab's hacker culture of the 1970s. In 1983, he announced a bold plan on an internet newsgroup. He would create a complete, Unix-compatible operating system and give it away free to everyone. He called it GNU, a recursive acronym for GNU's Not Unix, blending hacker humor with a defiant message. Starting this Thanksgiving, I am going to write a complete Unix-compatible software system called GNU and give it away free to everyone who can use it. By the late 1980s, the GNU project had built most of a complete operating system, tools like the GCC compiler and Emacs editor. But one critical piece was missing, the kernel. Stallman's team had started work on GNU Herd, but progress was slow. The kernel never reached a usable state. Little did anyone know, the missing piece would soon arrive from an unexpected source, not from MIT or any tech powerhouse, but from a modest university student hacking away in a far-off corner of the world. Helsinki, Finland, summer 1991. A 21-year-old computer science student named Linus Torvalds sits hunched over his PC in a small apartment. Linus is shy, curious, and utterly absorbed in a personal project. He's trying to write his own operating system kernel, just for fun. What led him here was a mix of curiosity and constraint. Linus had been enamored with the Unix operating system ever since reading Andrew Tannenbaum's book, Operating Systems Design and Implementation. He wanted to run Unix on his home computer, but the only option, Minix, was limited. It was designed for education and had strict limitations set by Tannenbaum, who kept it minimalist and wasn't keen on outside improvements. Frustrated by those constraints and eager to explore the full power of his new Intel 386 chip, Linus did what any restless hacker might. He decided to create something better himself. Through the warm weeks of 1991, Linus hacked away in isolation, writing code to control the CPU, memory, and disk, the core of a new kernel. He had no grand plan for world domination. He wasn't thinking of changing computing or fulfilling Stallman's dream. He later admitted he started the project to learn about the 386 processor and to have a Unix-like system he could run at home. It was, at the outset, a personal challenge, a geeky adventure. By late August, Linus's kernel was starting to work. It could run some basic GNU programs. He ported the bash shell and GCC compiler, and it didn't crash immediately. It was primitive, but functional. At this point, many a hacker might keep tinkering in private. Instead, Linus made a decision that would alter the course of software history. He reached out to the world for feedback. On August 25, 1991, users of the Usenet group CompOS Minix, the online hangout for Minix enthusiasts, saw a new post pop up with an intriguing subject line. What would you like to see most in Minix? Inside, the message was unassuming and a bit self-deprecating. Hello everybody out there using Minix, I'm doing a free operating system, just a hobby, won't be big and professional like GNU. He explained that his project had been brewing since April and was coming together. I'd like any feedback on things people like or dislike in Minix, as my OS resembles it somewhat, he continued before cautioning, but I won't promise I'll implement them. He signed off simply, as if this were no big deal, just another student project announcement. In a postscript, he added one more line, almost as an afterthought. P.S. Yes, it's free of any Minix code and it has a multi-threaded file system. It is not portable, uses 386 task switching, etc. And it probably never will support anything other than at hard disks, as that's all I have. It was an honest disclaimer of the project's humble scope and his own hardware limits. In short, Linus was saying, I've made this thing, it works, kind of. I plan to release it for free, but don't expect too much. True to his word, Linus released the first version of his kernel, version 0.01, in mid-September 1991. He uploaded the source code to an FTP server for those early testers. It wasn't even announced on the wider internet at first. Linus just told the dozen or so people who'd contacted him that they could now download Linux 0.01. The name Linux itself was an accident of fate. Linus had whimsically called his project FreeX, a mashup of free, and the requisite Unix X. But the FTP admin, Ari Lemke, thought Freaks was silly and labeled the directory pub/os/linux instead. The name stuck. Much to Linus's later surprise and mild embarrassment, the code was rough but it worked. It wasn't pretty, Linus admitted, but it wasn't too embarrassing to show to others. With that quiet release, he opened the door for a world of co-developers to shape what came next. Once that threshold was crossed, there was no going back.